What have you noticed about how the EPA interacts with these neighborhoods?
It's for the Industrial Revolution. It's not for today, where industry is regulated to a certain extent, because you do have companies able to pull from those old laws, not the adjustments that were made to the laws and procedures. They can always go back. One of the things about the EPA is that, question comes up of how high is the level of integrity in the EPA? Because it's mighty funny, it was certain types of industries or certain types of areas that the industry wants to go in, everything's okay. But when you turn around and you want to build something in the middle of a middle class neighborhood that is mixed, the problem comes up. And so, like I said, I looked at the coal thing here. I've looked at this for years because I have a very close friend of mine who's never smoked, never drank, never did anything but had lung cancer because of the free radicals. And if you go to the shipyard, you will find a lot of people who have lung cancer. And it's, and the doctors always say, it's from free radicals. The time I spent in Southwest Virginia in Roanoke as an account executive for a company, I used to see this and talk to the people, black lung.
Thank you.
Lung cancer. Emphysema. Wasn't due to just smoking.
That's why it's nice, like
you had
the
same thing, that you had people who had never smoked in their life, and they were coming down with emphysema.
The way we can use it,
and it was attributed to the cold dust within the air.
Where
I grew up in Southwest Virginia, small town that went through an economic boom, and then it crashed in the 80s and 90s. It was the dumping, where they chose to dump in the black neighborhood, but they used to go into the black neighborhoods, and I found that to be true in several areas coming from Bristol. You're looking at the, the Galax community. You're looking at Roanoke, and Roanoke was a boom town. You look at, my hometown, Martinsville.
I have to remind myself sometimes.
And I don't want to go too far because it was known. I mean, we as kids hanging out one night, and all of a sudden it's a dead end street. You always notice why all this trash and stuff was always in this ravine. And we were all hanging out at the end of this road. All of a sudden, we see dump trucks coming down the road.
Generation, because they can offer you a lot.
And when we got out there, of course,
they still need to know who is in charge.
The dump trucks were driven by Caucasian men. And the first thing they said is, y'all don't belong down here. You need to leave. But we had older teenagers in the group. Because I was from one of those neighborhoods where the older ones talk to younger ones, and we were also taught by, activists.
Definitely listen to them. Don't
and the first
down.
Thing we
you
said, well, no. You don't live here. We do. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay here, and we're going to go get, Mr. So-and-so, Reverend So-and-so, and Mr. So-and-so. And then you can dump. And all of a sudden, you saw all the trucks turn around. And they went down. And what did they do? They went down this particular road, took a left, and went down this other road that was a black community. Because they had already been contracted by other companies to dispose of this, and their only way of disposing it was dumping it. Same thing happened when I was out in Richlands, Bluefield, Aswell, Bristol. You go further southwest of Bristol, Max Meadows. If you come back this way, I mean every little town that industry moved in because they moved from up north, the EPA didn't protect them. the regulations didn't protect them. The only time it protected them was when those companies actually went out of business and another company started to come in. Then the residents said, wait a minute. You have areas of pollution in Southwest Virginia, West Virginia, and the very east corner of Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, that are polluted. The water tables are polluted, the aquifers are polluted to a certain extent because there was so much dumping going on.
Do you know, or like, do you remember, maybe even from like that time that you remember seeing the trucks come in and you called like some of your community members, like, do you remember those adults interacting with the government or with the EPA or the DEQ in any way? Like,
well, so you have to understand, back then, we were, the people who were dealing with political actors.
Organization
the
is.
Plan still remains the same.
That's the case.
Same as when, and believe me, I can only use this, use this individual's name because it became prevalent. But when Trump came into office, his favorite thing to do, we learned about the education that the elite had, and that elite education was always deflect, deny, but maintain the course. So the black community was always deflected into this particular, issue, or this particular issue back in the 60s and 70s, and also 80s, it was always deflected.
People in your community were like, illegal dumping is going on here and it's affecting us. If they brought that to like a government entity, you feel like that would be like denied and deflected?
Well, the companies that were responsible for it were so removed from the actual criminal act because they would always contract other people within their organization. We need to get rid of X amount of tons of this product, or we need to get rid of these, this X amount of tons of trash. So where are we going to put it? Well, I know, my brother-in-law, we can set him up with some dump trucks.
You're welcome.
That are now affiliated with the company.
Okay.
And he can handle it. And when you're 5 degrees from, 5 degrees of separation from the people who are making the issue versus the people who are trying to solve the issue in a legal way, when you get to that point, the people who are actually doing it they're protected. They're cushioned. The easiest thing they can say, I have no knowledge of it. Once again, deflect, deny. Okay, I'm going to deflect the African-American community into civil rights, into issues of drugs, issues of this. I'm never going to speak economically of them. Because they would always say, you should be happy you got jobs, which was actually put fear. I was fortunate because these companies, I lived in a community that we had a community active that just lived right beside us that used to tell us, hey, look, they can say that, but they still need your labor. They still need that. I can even remember growing up, and there was a community activist that went out and got a government grant to build computer chips in my hometown. That as soon as he got that government grant and started making inroads into building his business that would have employed, maybe anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people, good paying jobs. A couple of weeks later, he was found murdered. And he had $5,000 in his pocket. And the reason why they did not take the money was because they wanted to send a message. See, it's easy to come in my neighborhoods, unlike yours, and threaten residents. And you threaten them, first of all, with economic hardships. You threaten them with lack of law enforcement. You threaten them with lack of public services. And then you actually come in and make physical threats. I was able to be a part of a community that was close-knit. My sister told me about how, see, my parents would always take us when they went to vote. Didn't matter, they took us. Even when there was a threat that somebody, you know, actually, individuals who did not want us to vote would come and disrupt voting. Well, my older sister told me about the time that they tried to do that. But our voting precinct was in the heart of the West End. They had to turn down a certain road and go down 2 miles. And they got to that road, took that right, and they got about a half a mile down the road, and the road was blocked. And when they tried to turn around, the road was blocked. And they were given 2 options. Stay and feel the repercussions of coming into this neighborhood, or walk out. They walked out.
So effective.
That was the only way we were able, because I never came up with, you know, the issues that other black communities faced, especially in Southwest Virginia, especially in other, you know, rural communities, because it was the strength of our communities. But see, there were certain things going on. Like I said, deflect, deflect, deny, 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 deflect. Nobody ever addressed it. So I didn't know whether or not they had addressed it because there was so many other needs going on. Now, with that, same just like here, level, you know, within the New Penouche community, we touched on the base of the levels of asthma. Black lung, you know, just pancreatic cancer. Diabetes runs rampant in whole Hampton Roads area because of the way we eat. But in my area, it was cancer. You know, all forms of cancer, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer, you know, shoot, what they used to all call blood cancer, you know, lung cancer, because all of this dumping. We actually had a company in the middle of a black neighborhood that the way they disposed of their petroleum byproducts, they dug a hole. And the hole was probably about 100 feet down, and they poured antifreeze, oil, whatever, into that hole. Now, during the 80s, when they passed the Superfund Act, that was one of the areas when that company, when that company finally went out of business. And, well, they moved their headquarters, and they were bought out to develop that area. They had to actually come in and, you know, dig down until they hit. But it was too late then because over years, all those products had went into the water table. So any aquifers that people were pulling from, you were pulling from that. I just, you know, it's just, it's frustrating.
Yes.
We know who done things. It's just that when you start to change, and that was my initial reaction, because the first thing I heard when they used that law in Arizona for abortion, the first thing that came to my mind when we were touching base on this, how old are laws with the EPA as far as governing COVID. Because when you talk about coal, you got to talk about the railroad. You talk about the railroad, you got to talk about the supply chain.
Right, yeah, and it all goes together. And we're going to get into it here in just a second, but I appreciate you asking.